Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 262, Logan.
That's it.
Slogan.
Just Logan.
Yeah. Logan.
Just Logan.
No running. He's too old for that.
So, okay. So the first one was X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yes.
And the second one was The Wolverine. Wolverine.
Yes.
And this one's Logan.
Correct.
So he's kind of going by way of like Newhart.
Just, yeah.
You know?
That last series was just called Bob.
Yeah.
That was it really?
Yeah. He had a series with him, Judd Hirsch, and Jason Bateman.
Yeah,
and
it was a doorman or something.
He played a comic book artist.
Oh. What?
How does Joe not know about this?
I know.
Was there another series after? I feel like there's one more. Wasn't he a doorman in some story in some show?
He was a. Yeah, he pops up as a door. Is he in Legally Blonde as a doorman?
Oh, he might be. You might be right.
Yeah, I thought he was actually in a show where he would play the doorman.
Or her dad, maybe,
or something. Yeah.
He is in Legally Blonde. Man, what a piece of crap that movie is.
Legally Blonde?
I don't like Reese Witherspoon.
Let's see, Bob is an American short-lived sitcom, which aired on CBS in September 18th, from September 18th, 92 to December 27th, 93, with a total of 33 half-hour episodes spanning over two seasons. I didn't know it got a second season. Let's see. Maybe I'm getting it mixed up with something else because that wasn't Judd Hirsch and Jason Bateman, according to this.
He's on The Big Bang Theory, and it's not pretty.
Is he somebody's dad on that, too?
No, he plays a Bill Nye knockoff called Professor Proton.
Oh, no. He was in a George and Leo.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking
Who's on
of.
That show?
That's Judd Hirsch and Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
What year was
and
that?
And that's 97 to 98.
Okay. So we're post Hogan's Family.
Oh, yes. Yes. But pre Arrested Development.
Yes, right.
So Logan, though,
that's a movie.
So we just go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. I was so focused on the
you
last
were,
one.
You were like dialed in.
Like a laser.
Yeah.
And then
you mentioned Bob Newhart.
It all goes
That no one to blame by yourself on that one. That wasn't us.
So just real quick, don't forget, we're available on iTunes. We haven't had a review for a while, so if you haven't done one yet, feel free to drop by there and rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it.
The next movie we're going to do is that guitar-playing dog if you don't review us.
We're doing Rock Dog.
Rock Dog.
I was like, I'm excited for Kong. Oh, no, Rock Dog.
It's going to be Rock Dog, so if we don't get a review by next weekend, it's Rock Dog. Just keep that in mind.
So so there. You have been warned at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, that's right.
Two for the price of none.
Yeah. So with that under our belts, we will turn our eyes to Logan.
Yeah. So we have been with Hugh Jackman for the 14 films that he's been doing these. And this is it. He said from the get, he's like, I can't do these anymore.
He's like, I can eat ice cream.
Yeah. So I did think that was funny. Like in this movie, he is never shirtless. Like he's always wearing a shirt. And I'm sure he was just like, I'm not doing it. Yeah. Like, I'm not...
He does get down to...
He's still in good shape.
He wears a tank top. Yeah, yeah, he wears the traditional Wolverine garb.
He's in good shape, but he's also supposed to be aging, so he doesn't have to be as swole as, like, the Wolverine.
It was Days of Future Past was the one where he was, like...
Yeah. I remember all the promo shots, though, for the Wolverine where he's standing sideways and his obliques are bigger than your head and he's just ripped. Like, the Wolverine, he was ridiculously shredded.
Yeah, but it was that scene in Days of Future Past where he gets shot in, like, the hotel room.
Yeah.
And you're like... How are those HGH shots going there, buddy? Because holy Jesus.
Yeah.
So this one, we're set in the way future.
2029.
There's no continuity to the Wolverine movies whatsoever.
I think you could make an argument that this movie does not take place in film continuity.
I think you can absolutely do that.
I feel that this movie is kind of meta and that it's saying those movies were movies.
Right.
And this is real life.
I think so. We will.
I love
just,
that.
Just to lead into, like, there are X-Men comic books that are referenced.
I love it. And they reference it. Just throw away. It's not spoiling anything. But he's like, you know, you do something one time, and then they make up stories about it, and they're not even getting them right. Like, they're basically saying that the X-Men saved the world one time, and then someone decided to make comics about it and make them into superheroes. And I love that. I love the direction they went with that.
So this is, I will say, that is loosely based on a 7-issue run by Mark Miller and Steve McNiven called Old Man Logan, where in that book the villains of the Marvel Universe have decided we're tired of getting our asses kicked by the same heroes. What if we take some of Spider-Man's villains, some of Captain America's villains, and we'll go after the X-Men and see what happens? So Mysterio, a Spider-Man villain who we have never seen in the films, which is a travesty, tricks Wolverine into thinking that his worst villains are attacking the X-Mansion, right? So Sabretooth and Lady Deathstrike and Omega Red, all of his big bad guys are attacking. So Wolverine goes feral, like he tends to do, and kills them all. Destroys all of the villains. Like, you know, it's not even a fair fight.
The quote-unquote villains?
Don't... God damn you. So the facade is lifted, and it turns out that Wolverine has slaughtered the X-Men. He's killed Jubilee and Cyclops, and he's killed everybody. And he quits. He gives up being a hero. He goes to live in the desert with a family. The villains take over the world, so like
he's gonna walk the earth like Kane.
That's exactly what it is. Like he doesn't pop his claws. Like he does not in that story. He doesn't pop his claws until the last issue.
Spoilers.
That's not really a spoiler. That thing, it was forever ago. But so what they can't do is, because that series was so deeply set in the Marvel Universe
with all those characters.
Well, yeah,
there's no way.
Hawkeye is in it. Spider-Man's granddaughter, a family of inbred Hulks, because the Hulk can't have sex with anybody else except for his cousin. That's a thing that they reference in that book.
Yeah, aren't they called the Hulk Gang?
It's like the Hulk family.
Yeah.
But Hulk goes crazy. He rapes She-Hulk, and they start a family. And it's like The Hills Have Eyes with Hulks. Okay. Like, that's the only way I can describe it.
So this movie.
Yeah. But like I'm saying, like, there's so much in that.
Yeah,
they cannot touch.
You thought this was rated
R. Yeah, right.
And it's probably better than they couldn't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's better that they couldn't do that. It's a fun story. It's a crazy story.
Yeah.
Fun. It is. I mean, because
well, for Joe,
he gets his revenge.
Who doesn't enjoy a little Hulk rape by this? Okay, so like the last Wolverine movie, kind of really only felt sort of related to the X-Men movies.
There's no reference to the X-Men, I don't think.
Well, because we got we have Charles and Magneto at the end,
right, which would lead you into Days of Future Past.
Yeah, but it only kind of felt like, okay.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's got Hugh Jackman.
This movie could not be in the same universe.
Yeah, kind of feels sort of maybe related to the last Wolverine movie, but maybe, it certainly doesn't feel like anything to do with the X-Men movie.
No.
When I, you know, after seeing it, I talked to Katie, and she said, I've never seen the last movie. She meant Apocalypse. She saw the Wolverine, and I go, they don't reference one thing from that, so you didn't have to. Like, this is not in that continuity, so that's the thing.
So they do reference the first movie in this.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about X-Men 1,
where Xavier's like, I pulled you. If it wasn't for me, I pulled you. Like, you'd still be fighting.
Well, they also
cage.
Reference it because there's the nod to the Statue of Liberty.
Correct. Yeah. And that's all in X-Men 1.
And we think Charles is like... Mm.
But those are, I mean, those are little references that you could still get even... What I mean is that you don't have to see the others.
Sure.
And especially not Apocalypse, because that was not referenced once.
Is he in that? He's not in that, is he?
Yeah. He's... They bust him out.
They bust him out.
Oh, that's right. They bust him out. He's Weapon X.
He's Weapon X.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I think that is actually part of, like, maybe his origin.
His origin. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, because it's been getting messier and messier. So this...
Yeah. Much like the comic books.
This, you know, like they've split.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And it's probably better, and it's better for this movie. And we know that they're going to do... I mean, they're basically have rebooted the franchise, and they've got, you know, what's her name? Sansa is going to be Jean Grey, and they're going into the whole Dark Phoenix story.
And they're doing
now.
Gambit still. That's still on track.
So we're going to have
everybody's
basically
off of it.
We've
though,
got
right?
the, no, you know, no. we've got the young X-Men.
Yeah.
Starting.
Yeah. We've got the original. They've gone back to the original four.
Yeah. So,
well, maybe they haven't.
I don't know. But I know we're going to have Cyclops and Jean Grey.
And Mystique.
And right. it's, we're,
Nightcrawler?
Know. All I know is that they, maybe Nightcrawler. So they've got that coming.
Yeah.
We saw their disco costumes at the end of Apocalypse.
Don't you talk bad about those costumes.
So what's
no. We saw their disco costumes. So, I mean, we know that like they've definitely.
There's a split. Well, it's also, not only is there a split with the X-Men, but now you've got Deadpool. And now you've got X-Force, and now you've got like all of these different, like none of these are connected. Like Deadpool is barely connected because of Cyclops or because of Colossus.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
But
what
even
X-Force.
That was like that, like just the, I mean, it was like, oh, cool, Colossus. But then the continuity, you're like, well, that's something.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Weird. So maybe as long as they keep that, you know, style and the, you know, for X-Men, whatever. I don't care. The smart thing about this movie is that, like, they basically kept driving away.
Yeah. Correct.
And they didn't go, well, what about? Nope, keep driving.
And I think that really is one of the best things it has going for it, is that it's so small and contained. This is such a small, intimate story with character development and not with a whole bunch of special effects, but with some great action scenes.
That's where Wolverine, like, that, the first three-fourths of that Wolverine movie is fantastic. When it gets to the end and he fights a giant mech monster.
Although I would say that the unrated version is improved.
I would agree. I would also agree. Yeah. I just wanted to see them wear the costume one time.
I feel like, unlike DC, like they learn from their mistakes.
Yes.
So the Wolverine, they realize, I think they hedged their bets. They did this kind of very stripped down Wolverine story, and then they were like, eh, can we really go down this road? And then they realized that people like that road better.
Right.
And so then they
don't need the superhero story.
And then they were like, okay, well, we can do this with Logan, where it's superheroes in a real story, not a superhero story.
I think this is
we don't need a giant robot.
Right.
Exactly.
In a way, this is very similar and not quite as toned down, but it's very similar to what they did with Iron Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a Tony Stark story, and you didn't see for most of the movie a suit or any kind of superhero action. It was the characters, it was the dialogue was well written, and so I felt that this was very similar in that way, and I loved it. I loved the real world, you know, being set in more of a real world, because the opening scene, we find out Hugh Jackman's...
Do we want to talk about the real opening scene?
Well, no, because that was technically like a...
Hilarious. That was great.
How'd they get... I mean, I can't believe they got the Superman song. What'd they have to pay for
that? I have
that?
No idea.
Yeah.
They used the... And it wasn't like a little sample.
No,
it was
like
score
30 seconds
from
the Superman main title.
No, it was like 2 minutes from the Superman. And so I thought, that's pretty funny being different companies. But anyway...
So our friend of the show, Brian Spath, had seen it early. And I was like, is there anything I need to look for? And he was like, I got nothing.
They didn't put it in the screening.
It wasn't in the screening. So I texted him. I was like, dude, like, there's a trailer in the beginning.
It's online in HD.
Oh, is it?
So he can just watch it. Yeah.
So Ryan Reynolds did it again. Where, like, the reason Deadpool got made is because Ryan Reynolds released that test footage at, like, WonderCon or something. The original test footage of him, like, on the thing, jumping into the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds leaked that on purpose.
Yes.
He's like, this is what it would have looked like had we done it. And then Brian was
worked.
Woo! And he's like, oh.
It totally stole the thunder from the Batman Superman trailer.
It absolutely was. Yeah. Yes, it did. But yeah, like, that's how that movie got made. So this is another kind of thing where, you know, it's like a 2-minute snippet.
Yeah.
It's almost like, You know how Disney does like those animated shorts?
Yeah, it's
I
like
feel like
yeah.
it was like
nothing,
the,
yeah.
Disney Deadpool was on a street where there was like a matinee movie playing, and it was Logan.
Yeah, it's just, I did like on the thing where it's on the phone booth.
Yeah,
there's a whole Superman gag where he's trying to change into his costume. It said Nate Summers is coming.
Yeah,
and I was like, well, we already told us that. But all right, I'm still in.
Yeah, it was good, but so anyway, but the this movie Logan opens up, and Logan is a limo driver. So all mutants are dead.
He's the Jason Statham of the
He's the transporter. But so he's basically just
he's an Uber hero.
Very good.
There you go. You're done.
Thank you. I'll be peeing if anyone needs me.
So he's just working this remedial job, driving around bachelorette parties and punk kids are celebrating. And, you know, he's just taking
boobs in this movie.
Yeah. So he's just working these jobs. So anyway, he's sleeping in his limo and he is awoken by like four or five gang members. They've got the limo jacked up and they're trying to take the wheels off. And so what I love about how small and contained this movie is like he's dealing with such real world problems, because we never think about the collateral damage in these superhero movies, right? So superheroes, you know, battle each other and buildings get destroyed and this and that. But something I love about this was they start shooting him and shooting at him, and he jumps in front of his limo because he's trying to work these odd jobs to save money to get a boat and escape. This is his only means of revenue. This is his job. And he goes, not the car, and jumps in front of it. And I'm like, someone actually addressed collateral damage.
Well, this
like,
is this is also the first we get an idea that he's not the Wolverine we remember.
Well, sure,
there's something wrong. He's not healing as fast.
He's
something's
scarred,
poisoning him. They keep saying.
Well, so it's
the adamantium.
It is the adamantium. Like that's the one of the things that they've talked about in the stories is like, I think there was one point where he loses his healing factor, and because he lost the healing factor, like that's why the adamantium worked on him, is because his healing factor kept everything at bay. So as he gets older, his healing factor starts to slow down, thus causing we don't know what's going on until about 3/4 of the way through. We just know that he's sick. It's adamantium poisoning is what it is.
Gotcha. I just loved the fact that he jumps in front of the car, and basically this very very real world type character is saying like, this is my means to make a living, and sure, you can shoot me and the bullets will heal. If you know, if things are working properly, you can shoot me, I'll heal, I'll be okay, shoot me all you want, but don't hurt my car, my moneymaker. Right. And I love they address that, because
especially
because
it was a 2029 Chrysler.
It was
Chrysler.
It was,
it was a 2024 Chrysler. Yeah. Sorry, thanks.
Very advanced,
but it was shiny.
Yes. But I like that, because you know, whenever you see future cars, you're like, come on.
Right.
It was like,
this looks like a good future
like
car.
It would be. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like that it had like a plug in the hood. Did you see that? There was like a little port where you could plug something into the hood. I assume that,
good.
You know, like it's
Mr. Fusion.
Yeah.
So, and then, but this is where we are reminded the movie is rated R.
Correct. He destroys these
limbs
people.
Are flying.
Yeah. Limbs.
Claws are going through heads.
Well, and also I like that. So like usually, in all of these movies, he has complete control of these claws, right? Like in the first one, he pins the guy's throat and like he doesn't
extract the middle one
all the way.
Or he flicks off with the middle one.
This one, something is wrong, because the two of them come out, but that third one is having a hard time. So like he's got to like get a hold, like grab it.
They make medicine for
pull
that.
Pull it. Yeah. Well, maybe not for Wolverine's claw.
I don't know.
In the event that your claws say snicked for more than 4 hours,
please consult
Dr. Doom. Yeah.
So yeah, this is, like I said before, it's a shame that it's taken us 14 movies to get to this Wolverine, because this is the Wolverine I've always read.
You can't start with this Wolverine.
Absolutely right.
You can't start. Yeah. Nobody would care. Nobody would get it.
I guess what I mean is like, it's a shame that we're ending here.
It's the same way that Westerns couldn't start with the Searchers Unforgiven or the outlaw Josie Wales. Like you have to work. It's the same reason in the last episode I was like, they are not ready to do a Nightwing movie yet.
Yeah.
They haven't earned the right to do a Nightwing movie yet.
Yeah.
There's too much story to be told before you get to Nightwing. Yeah. Slow your roll.
Right.
And so
I think the timing works
is
out.
It's perfect.
I think it adds to the impact of this movie.
Yeah, it's good to go out on top.
Yeah,
so you know what? It's a shame we didn't get to see more.
Well,
but
I guess
would
I'm
it
saying
have been as
it's
good?
A, it's a shame
well, we
that
saw
this is our
enough.
Last
yeah.
in this movie.
This is our last Hugh Jackman as Logan.
Maybe.
Maybe.
How many times? I mean, I'm not saying that he's lying,
right?
But how many times have we heard? I mean, they
had a Bond movie. Patrick Stewart's already said he might do.
What was his, he said? But what was the condition? Wasn't there like he had like a condition that
he can't be dead?
Well, besides that, yes. But that's the thing is like this. To your point? Well, I'm not gonna get to that. I
mean, did you guys see? There's another Saw movie coming out.
Of course there is.
Remember after Saw 7, the final chapter? Guess what? There's another song. I mean,
okay, now, in all fairness, the final Friday, Jason lives. Jason takes Manhattan. Jason goes that like
but I'm saying was, there's a the final the that's final, relevant the Saw is coming out next year. Yeah, I'm just
the,
saying
the
like,
final Friday was like four movies before the last one.
But that's just like come on. So yeah, you're right, Tom. I mean, never say never. He's not lying, but
I was gonna say
it comes up.
I was gonna say they named a James Bond movie Never Say Never Again for this very reason.
Yep. Yeah,
exactly.
And apparently Daniel Craig's gonna be James Bond again.
Of course he is.
Of course he is.
After all that,
that was such crap. Like
he
they went after him like 3 weeks after he had just got done filming.
And
it.
Like, you ready to do the next one?
And he was like, no, I'm not ready to do the next one.
He needs a refractory period.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's not as young. He's not a young man anymore, you know?
They squeezed him into that suit in that last one a little bit.
So anyway, this movie is very grounded. It's very brutal and
did it not do its homework?
Yeah, but that's all right because they learned from it. But you know, but the thing is like the special effects don't look like a CG crap fest. And I'm not saying it's full of CG, but the blood looks real, the fighting looks real. Like they did a very good job of making this look like a real world setting and not a cartoon, not a comic. I mean,
it looks
dark and gritty.
He also doesn't want to, you know, his name's James Howitt.
Which is that's legit. Yeah. Like that was.
But he doesn't want to use his. He doesn't really want to use any sort of inkling of
Wolverine. Yeah, he's retired from.
Yeah,
the Wolverine is dead.
He doesn't want
to.
Yeah,
so to speak.
But there's also like we find out like he really didn't want to use his claws at all with the guys who are trying to take his.
No, he says he's like let's not do
take
this.
His rims.
Yeah.
I do like where he's like they're chrome. Lug nuts, like you're not gonna be able to get those off. Please stop it.
I love and the thing that sets him off is because they do shoot the car, and I love seeing him go berserk.
Yeah,
Hugh Jackman is so good at that growl and that you know.
And you get a lot of it in this movie,
yeah,
just not from the person you think you'd get.
Right.
Well, I mean, yeah, the one guy get, but right off the bat, you're like, was that an arm?
Yeah,
yeah.
He cuts that guy's arm off, and you're like, oh.
Yeah. Well, now he can't fight him.
Right.
Yeah. He's unarmed. It's not fair fight.
I don't think that matters to Wolverine.
Yeah. Just a flesh wound.
So he dispatches the gang members pretty quickly. And now he's just again doing odd jobs, doing what he has to do to survive. He goes to a hospital and you think he's doing a drug deal is from what it looks like. And this is where we're introduced to pretty much our main antagonist. Do they say his name?
I don't know.
Yeah, he
creepy arm guy.
Robo Johnny.
Yeah,
Robo Johnny.
Well, like it's weird because
the guy with the robot hair.
He gives you a business card, so it's got a name on it.
But they reference
Pierce.
Alkali as well, which was great.
Yeah.
But they also in the end of X-Men Apocalypse, I think. Do they reference? It's at the end of that where they reference the Essex Corporation.
Might have been.
Where I was like, okay, so the next one, either he's
picking up all the
DNA,
the goo.
Where I was like, they're either Mr. Sinister is going to be the bad guy in this one, or he's going to be the bad guy in the next one. And the Supernova, I think, is what they're technically the working title for the next X-Men movie is Supernova.
I don't care.
Whatever.
So he goes
not to be confused with the Oasis biopic Champagne Supernova.
Yeah.
That's a totally different.
We do not. I mean, I would actually see that movie just see how much of a train wreck those two brothers are. With
there
each
is.
Other.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, is that right?
There's a documentary about him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he
go to their hideout.
He gets the drugs. He goes to their hideout, and this is where we see Caliban.
Yeah.
Who I was like,
I thought Stephen Merchant was good in this.
I like Stephen Merchant.
Caliban, now he sang Word Up. Is that?
No, he didn't.
No.
But Caliban was also in was in X-Men Apocalypse.
Oh, he was?
Yeah. Like he's the, like, so remember when we see Psylocke for the first time?
He's the weird guy running the.
Yes. Huh, that's the same. It's not Stephen Merchant.
Right. I didn't make it's the connection. Same it's a different character. Okay.
Oh, it's the same
he's
character.
He's the weird albino guy underground running the...
And he can track mutants.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. But so like, yeah, I like Stephen Merchant, but he's a funny guy. And when I saw him cast, I didn't know who he was going to be. And then I see him in this role and I'm like, he did a good job. Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit of undertone of humor, but he plays it pretty seriously. And I thought he was really good.
Yeah. He's also, you could tell like he's a character who's like sort of... making restitution.
Yes.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. He knows like he screwed up.
He's dealing, like, he's putting up with, you know, like, he's not well liked around the house.
Correct. Well, and he used to be working for the bad guys.
He worked for Alkaline.
He was a tracker for.
I almost would say Terrigen, but I know that's not right. Whatever the company was that has wiped mutants off the planet from what we
we'll get to it, but like, I mean, they say it what happened.
Well, they don't.
Well, we know that the mutants are gone.
We just don't.
I'm pretty sure later on he says how he did it,
but
you know what, we're just gonna get to it.
No, I'm not talking about the X-Men. I'm talking about mutants around the world. He says how he got rid of them. Dr. Rice says
it's something
they're drinks.
Right.
He puts it in the food. They found the cure or whatever they would, or the whatever would attack mutants. So anyway, we'll get there. But he says what happened.
But we also know that
I'm not
what
talking
happened
about
to
that.
Our,
something happened to the
X-Men.
We'll get there.
What happened to the X-Men?
And again, like in the Old Man Logan story, I'm assuming Wolverine is the culprit.
Right.
Right.
So we'll get into that. Yeah. But I mean, they allude to it from the very beginning. So basically, he's there with Caliban, and he's there with Professor X, Charles.
A damaged. Like mentally damaged Charles Xavier, who is
from
not
medicine. He says that medicine makes him roll around like a
but
there's
he's
also
got like Alzheimer's. He's got some other brain
some dementia.
Yeah,
yeah, you which know. Leads to like so he has these seizures. Which the seizures, if you have seen all the like for whatever reason, one of Charles Xavier's powers in these movies is he can stop time.
Yes,
I don't think that's ever been a thing in the comics.
It's been an effective thing that they've used since the second movie.
So now this, it's so out of control that these seizures are the only one who can make that, like, so it's the same deal where he's stopping time.
He's telekinetically incontinent.
It's pretty much it. So but when he does it this time, like, he's gonna kill these people. Like, the only one that can get to him is Wolverine because of the healing factor.
Exactly.
Kind of like the only good scene in X-Men 3 when she is gone full Dark Phoenix and she's hitting him with blasts of whatever, and that she's blasting away, like, his skin. Mm. And he's, like, keeps walking and keeps, you can see, like, parts of his skull and his bones, and he keeps walking. That was the only good part of that.
Really?
Well, what about the scene with Juggernaut? Oh, no, sorry. That's the worst scene in the movie.
That's the worst.
I get my scenes.
We're not there yet, but I really like the second time he has a seizure in the hotel room.
Woof. Yeah.
The visuals on that. And
sure.
The way they did it. So, but anyway, it's
like,
cool.
That scene rivals the Quicksilver scene in First Class.
It was intense. The thing is,
First Class? No, it wasn't First Class.
No.
Future Past
Days
is where they did
past.
That.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's not as flashy and it's not as funny, but it is intense. You feel it. You feel the struggle. And
it's shot, it's shot really well.
It is.
James Mangold, you know,
what else has he done?
310 to Yuma.
Ooh, Copland's a good movie. 310 to Yuma.
310 to Yuma.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
He found his footing in this Western style.
Yeah, he's brought in Western sensibilities. He's also brought in more dramatic action.
Which is why I will not.
Which is why
I have
right
a hard
guy.
Time calling this a superhero movie.
It's not.
Because
it's not.
Not.
I mean, I was like trying to explain. It's like.
Yeah. It has superhero tendencies.
Yeah.
But it's not Avengers. It's not a Marvel superhero movie.
Even from the R-ratedness of it, it's like, I'm like, it's not like Deadpool.
No.
It's more like, but it's extremely, extremely brutal.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, people give adults crap for reading comic books. People that don't read comic books.
Sure, absolutely.
And there are a lot of comic books that are like this, that are superhero comic books, but that tell stories like this. There are also a lot of other, like, more traditional ones, but I think
go read The Authority, Planetary.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't realize that, like, they use the genre to tell a lot of other genre stories.
Sure,
and that's what we talked before about. That's why the Marvel movies, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Avengers and stuff, that's why those are working so well,
right,
is that they keep telling different types of genre stories.
Yeah, each hero has a different.
Yeah.
To that point, we watched Doctor Strange because Elliot hadn't seen it. We watched it last night. And I'm like, it's Iron Man. And she's like, well, why am I watching it? I go, well, it's Iron Man, but see, but you got to think about it. It's like they're hitting the same beats, just as like Ant-Man hit the same beats.
Correct.
But it's in the genre that, you know, makes it appropriate to the character and that it feels fresh, even though it's like
It's the same outline.
It's the same rhythm.
Sure.
It's the same bullet points.
You're in
the supernatural world.
How
many songs use verse, chorus, verse?
Yeah, I mean, totally. Yeah.
You know?
And they do their own thing. And that's the same thing with those Marvel cinematic stuff. Yeah. Where it's like, okay, beat one, beat two, beat three. But however you get to those beats is up to you.
But this is like, I mean, if this were in a comic book minus pictures, it would be, you know, it would be considered a novel.
Absolutely. Yeah. It would. Yeah.
And there's a lot of heavy lifting in this.
There is a lot. Yeah.
And it's
sure.
a good story. And I think it's, again, good character development.
You forget that Hugh Jackman can act. You know, like he's so synonymous with this role that doesn't really require a lot of acting.
I mean, the guy's a talented person. He's a theater actor. He's,
to us.
Yeah.
But I mean, like to the average film goer, they don't, you know, they don't know that this guy, I mean, the Prestige is a fantastic flick.
Yeah. Oh
like
my
he
gosh,
kills
yeah.
it in that literally and figuratively.
It's amazing.
In that movie.
Yeah. He's a brilliant actor.
And I feel like this is the first time he was able to act.
Or the Wolverine, though. I mean, he does some decent acting.
That was more superhero-y.
It was more, but I still think that's, you still got to see it, which was cool.
Yeah.
That was very, like isolated to the Wolverine character.
Sure,
and so, but I agree with you. This is more so than
he's able to
seen.
Emote a little bit. So he meets the guy, this guy, and he kind of says, like, look, I'm looking for this. Like, I'm looking for this girl. Oh, I guess he's already had the interaction with.
So he goes to
he's
a,
at a funeral. He's driving for a funeral, and he sees this woman, and she's like, "You're the Wolverine." He's like, "Fuck you!" Like, and this is the version
off.
Of Wolverine I love. Like, he's not nice. He doesn't give a.
He's not in a yellow and blue costume.
He's not. I would even take the brown and orange one at this point.
But he's not that character.
He is not the lovable Wolverine that we know, you know, smoking cigarette or smoking cigars and fighting in cages.
Yeah.
So she's like, I need you to help me. And he's like, get away from me, blah, blah. So as she drives away, we see the girl in the back of the car. Now, I wish I would have bought the issue when it came out that this character was in her first appearance, because now it's like a $400 issue. Thanks a lot, James Mangold.
What was her first appearance?
I think it's like NYX number 3.
Okay.
It was Joe Quesada and Josh Middleton, I think, were the two creative team on.
Is that Laura?
Laura Kinney.
Okay.
It's like Laura Kinney is her name in the books now. I will say her origin's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, she's his clone.
Okay.
Like, yeah, she's a clone of him that they've been trying to perfect him. Like Weapon X and Alkaline have been trying to perfect the Wolverine ever since. So there's other stuff out there.
What was that other clone they did?
So in the comic books, there's a character named Albert.
Girl one with the claws I'm talking about in the movie.
Oh, no. She was Lady Deathstrike.
Lady Deathstrike.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wasn't she a clone of him?
No.
I'm thinking
so. Okay, so here's the weird part, right?
Okay.
So the gal who's like his buddy, his second buddy in the Wolverine, she is Lady Deathstrike.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, she becomes Lady Deathstrike.
Right, right.
Yeah, because he kind of scorns her.
Right.
But in X-Men 2, it's Kelly Hugh.
Yeah.
And they have that awesome fight scene where he jacks her full of adamantium and drowns her.
But there's
they never reference
her.
She's
just created Alkali Lake.
No,
through Stryker. Stryker.
No, so the.
But she's not a Weapon X.
X 2.
Yes,
that's what I mean. In
correct.
The movie, contained in the movie, that's what they did.
Yeah, in the books, she is scorned by Wolverine.
Right.
So she takes over the hand and all kinds of stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah. This is where
she gets a hand job.
She does get, you don't want to get a hand job from Lady Deathstrike.
And this is where like right around there is like where I guess the last Wolverine movie is like we've already like broken continuity.
Correct.
Pretty substantially.
Correct. Which is why I think
that they can't get an actor to same play Stryker that's like got every freaking actor.
Yeah, they're like, can we get Stryker in this movie? Well, we can get a guy that could play his great grandson.
Yeah,
does that count?
It was like,
all right,
it's close enough. Different Stryker.
Who was it? So it was Danny Houston?
Danny Houston,
Brian Cox, and then the guy from Days of Future Past?
Yeah.
Okay. So
we're introduced to.
So we're introduced to the
Laura.
Laura. We see her for the first time, and then we don't see her again for a little bit. Wolverine goes back to the house and he's been giving Xavier the meds to keep him sedated, because if he's not sedated, he could kill
the
them
seizures,
all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
he the great, and again, story writing, kudos to the writers of this film.
Mangold is a writer as well.
Is he? Yeah. I think that sounds right. They keep planting little seeds and they're not giving too much away, but Charles is saying, why am I here? Tell me why I'm here. So they've got him isolated in this, you know, dome.
It's almost like a fallen water tower.
Yeah, it's something like that, but it's, you know, it's disheveled, but like it keeps him in and whatever kind of contains him, and they've locked him away in this tower and tell me, what did I do? Why am I here? That kind of thing. And I just love planting of the seeds. They don't spoon feed it to you. They don't give it to you right away. So you're wondering, what did he do?
I will say there's a whole scene that was cut from this movie.
Really?
That was the flashback. And Mangold cut it.
Yeah.
And said, he's like, we had enough in there to begin with. Like, we didn't want to, waterlog it with more backstory. Yeah.
And they thought it was more effective without it.
I would agree. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like an expensive scene to
cut.
Well, I think so.
No,
well,
they didn't film it.
They didn't film it. It was in the script.
He didn't mean that.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you meant.
No. Yeah, there is.
They decided not to go.
Because then you got to bring in all the X-Men.
Yeah.
Right. Have them all be there. Well, I guess.
So.
People in costumes.
Yeah, yeah. So they plant it. So they plant the seeds there. So we're wondering what happened to Charles. What did he do? Why do they have him locked away? But we see an example in this same scene of him and Caliban, and or him damaging Caliban and Wolverine through these seizures, and he has to go give him a shot to stop it. So that's our first introduction to this, and this will come into play later.
Right. So now we've got Wolverine gets a text. Well, Logan gets a text and says, "Hey, can you be here at this time? For X amount of dollars." Yeah. And he was like, "Yep, I'm on the way."
He has an app, like literally like Uber, where
it's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Ride
sharing. It's not like, "Hey, I can track your phone on my phone without having all that." None of that. So he goes to this hotel and the Liberty Hotel.
Well, I guess we should mention that Charles is having these, like, they think they're crazy flashbacks, and he's talking about the Statue
there's
of Liberty,
new,
which was
a new mutant,
which was the big fight
set piece in X-Men.
X-Men. And so he's like, "No, we haven't been there for a long time and it's not there," whatever, but the hotel is the Liberty and it's a Statue of Liberty. So you're like, yes, again, smart writing. Like,
it's smart writing and it's smart callbacks.
Yeah.
Like, it's not,
very well done.
Yeah, so he goes and he sees this girl, and
same one that chased him down at the cemetery.
Right. Well, she's bouncing a ball or whatever.
Oh, right.
And she breaks a window, I guess.
Yeah.
And the woman comes out.
Oh, wow. She's so lucky.
Yeah.
The woman, I thought she was.
Like, she's getting in the girl's face. And
Did you guys think she was a goner?
Oh, yeah, I thought she was dead for sure.
And so Wolverine says, get your ass back.
He's like, "Get your fat ass back behind the desk and
you'll
shut up.
You'll get your money." Yeah. Like, oh,
like,
my gosh.
And she walks back. So she kind of says, he's like, "I need you to get her to Canada. I need you to get her to North Dakota." That's where he's like, "Look, you've already put somebody on my tail that I don't want anything to do with this."
This guy Pierce is tracking him down, trying to find the girl, and he knows that she talked to him at the funeral, so he's already on his trail. But what we didn't mention is that his goal for this limo company he has is to save up, I think, $75,000 to get a boat, so him and Charles can just sail the sea and get away from everything. And she basically offers him
for Caliban to stay below deck.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the Stephen Merchant funny, you know, the humor that was good. But this woman offers him the one thing he needs, and that's money. She says, "I'll give you 20 now and 30 more when we cross the Canadian border, where Eden, it's called Eden."
Well, and it's also a nice little callback to Wolverine. Like, they're going to Canada. Where Wolverine was created, was in Canada.
Yeah.
So,
they don't wink at it, which is cool, because we know he's from Canada. But when they mention it, I was like looking for a something, but he never reacts. Like, "I'm from there. I've been there." Like,
they've got
other than having no desire to go that way.
Right.
Yeah.
They got an Australian guy to play a Canadian guy with no Canadian accent. But, yeah. You know, whatever.
But he's the best. So
he is at what he does. That's
we do
true.
Not argue.
So he's like, "No, I'm not doing it. And finally, he agrees and he leaves, and he's coming back to pick her up. And when he comes back, like, the entire place has been destroyed, and
her neck snapped.
The woman is dead. And so he's just like kind of picking up whatever he can pick up.
Files,
he goes to the, like, where the little,
dossier.
No, well, it was a dossier, but it was also like the desk was broken.
Oh,
in half,
right.
And he takes the phone, the phone's in there. And he was like, "We gotta go." So he gets in the limo and he takes off and he's starting to pack up Charles. And as he's starting to pack up Charles, like, the trunk pops open, but there's nobody in the trunk.
Except for, like, a backpack and a bouncy ball.
A backpack and a bouncy ball. And you can see the look on his face where he's just like,
and Caliban is the one that finds it, because he tracks it. He smells it. And he's like, what is this? Who's
backpack? He's like, "Nobody was in my trunk. What are you talking about?" And then he can see in the distance all of the traditional Michael Bay shot where all of the dirt road SUVs are on their way. So he
which
is
was used effectively in 13 Hours.
It was, yeah.
I thought it was good. Yeah. But, yeah.
So he...
It's also used effectively in Butch Cassidy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So he is frantic. Like, he's trying to get... You know, he's trying to get Charles into the car. At this point, Laura walks around the corner, and she's, like, she's eating... Oh, that's right. She's just eating... They find her... And they get her situated, and she's just sitting there eating like cornflakes, watching the monitor.
Yeah.
My wife was like, huh? And I was like, oh, it's going to get like, just wait.
Don't worry. She's going to do more than eat cereal.
Right. So the, you know, Pierce shows up and he's going back. They're going back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah.
And finally they start searching like this. She's like, yeah, man, just whatever. So they go in and you see it all off screen. You don't hear anything. And all of a sudden here comes Laura walking out of the thing with a head.
Yeah. Was that Chuck Liddell, the UFC fighter?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I know is at first you're like,
I believe
what
it
is
was
that?
Alfredo Garcia.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Warren Oates.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's a funny reference if you knew your Sam Peckinpah, Kevin.
Ah, yeah. Gotcha. Sorry, Kevin.
Sam Peckinpah made a movie called Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, that was...
This movie owes a lot to Peckinpah.
It does. Yeah. I was thinking that, too. I was like, this is like a Peckinpah movie.
What does that mean?
Very brutal, dirty...
Dusty. Yeah.
Dusty.
Tough
bloody.
Men driving... The back roads.
Oh, okay.
Hardened.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to make a correction. That was not Chuck Liddell. I guess he just looked like him. But the character Mohawk was played by Krzysztof Sazazinski.
That was my second guess.
Right.
That guy used to be a UFC fighter, I think.
The way he looks, I'm sure he was a fighter. But
I think he was on The Ultimate Fighter.
With the Mohawk and stuff, I'm like, oh, Chuck Liddell.
Yeah, so she walks
all these, all the heavies
out.
are also enhanced. We should mention that. So
yes.
They all have like different kinds of like
cyborg stuff and
pieces and stuff.
Did they have cyborg logo?
No. Shockingly enough.
No logos in this.
No logos.
Yeah, Lex Luthor.
There is a logo in this.
Yes. There is.
We'll get to it.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, there is. So yeah, she walks out and she just like flings the guy's head across the, you know, across the sand.
Because you've just heard all this gunfire and commotion. And of course we know, you know, she's all right. But everyone's looking like, what happened?
Right.
You know? Yeah. And she throws the head
and
it's on.
And this is a good fight scene. Like they both start just tearing into everybody.
She has two claws.
This was the scene where like he grabs the one, like the one claw isn't pop, and he just grabs it and he pulls it the rest of the way out. And then it was on.
Well, that was a lot earlier. That was the beginning.
It?
He was in his bedroom and
that's right.
It shows that he actually pulled it with his bare hand and then it was all bloody and everything and his hand actually got cut and wouldn't heal, so he had to wrap it with a bandage. So it just shows you how like human he's becoming.
Which was one of the like in the books they did that. I don't know why I liked that as much as I did, but like he had lost the adamantium, so he just had bone claws.
Yeah.
But so he always had to have his hands wrapped up. I just thought that was one of the like cooler things of a costume.
Yeah.
It was so simple.
Yeah.
But
this fight scene,
but
I mean,
she starts going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has two claws where he has three because she's smaller, I guess. So.
No, they say like she's a female. So like she's got two claws that are for offense.
Yeah.
And then a third claw in her feet, which is for defense.
Cool. I didn't know that meant she wouldn't have three in the hand. I figured it would just be hard to cramp three. Like,
yeah. Cause those
she's
those
a little tiny.
Yeah. Kind of throw everybody off.
Those foot claws are awesome. Yeah. And at first I'm like, is that just like a James Bond knife boot?
Nope.
What is that?
No,
nope.
That's a foot claw.
She has a huge adamantium claw that she is like swinging her leg around and hitting people through the skull.
Yes.
Like,
this movie pulls no punches literally and figuratively with the violence.
It is. And it is awesome. Like for a superhero fan, a comic book fan, this is the movie in the action sequence that you want to see. This is the Wolverine sequence.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm glad we finally got here. It's a shame that we're only going to get one movie with
him.
But
again, go out on top. We got
totally.
We got the best version we could possibly get.
Yeah,
so
and this girl
be
is
thankful.
Great.
She's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, for a character that doesn't say anything for
2/3 of the movie.
Yeah, and then she starts to. I do like the scene.
I mean,
this is.
I mean, you got to think about it. This girl's what. 10, 11.
Sure.
Maybe, first film ever.
And
introducing.
And it's her.
And
I mean,
she's
other
it.
Kids, but it's her. And then it's all dudes.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is her vehicle. Like, she's going to be the new. If they do it, I don't know what they're going to do, but she could be the new Wolverine. Like,
They've kind of built. I mean, if they ever do a future story, they've kind of built the new X-Men.
Yeah.
All their power. I mean, we'll get there. But there's a new X-Men,
yeah.
So they can spin it off if they want.
Right.
But.
And in the comic books now, she is the Wolverine. Like, she's on the X-Men as the Wolverine.
There you go. So it's there. We'll get there
with the younger team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a big continuity where they brought back the original X-Men into the current time.
Oh, Miss Marvel's there?
Jean Grey, Scott Summers, non-Harry Beast, Iceman, yeah. Angel,
yeah.
And that was the team, mm-hmm. And now they've added Laura to the mix, so they have like another version of the X-Men.
How'd they bring back, I mean, without going too much into it, they brought them from time
travel.
Okay, yeah.
Say no
got
more.
It. Got it. That's it. Yeah. comic book 101.
Comic book one, time travel. That's all you need to know. Yeah. So now they're on a road trip. So they're going. They go to Vegas.
Becomes a road movie. Yeah. And again, I think of it as like a modern Western, like Hell or High Water, where they're driving around and they're just, again, character development and talking, great dialogue, and driving around these towns, and it's done so well, and you don't have to. This shows you don't have to have an action comic book, quote unquote, movie that is bombastic and huge visual flair. Like, you can do it and tell these stories like the ones Tom was talking about with these characters that are interesting and tell them and enjoy it and make it very simple.
Right.
And
yeah, absolutely.
Works.
So they're in Vegas but
minus Caliban.
Minus Caliban, who has been abducted by
Sent him to go bury. I mean, you knew this wasn't going to end well, but Logan sends him to go bury Pierce or drop him off where no one can find him.
He's like, take the gun, bury the guy, get the... Oh, damn it. So now they are able to track. Like, they are tracking Logan and everybody. So they're in Vegas, and this is the scene where Logan is trying to procure a new car, mm-hmm. and he gets back to Vegas, to the hotel, and he sees that these guys are already at the hotel. So he knows that they are on a limited schedule. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, a seizure, Xavier has a seizure. And this is the scene that we were talking about where Logan is like, he's fighting against the seizure to get into the room.
Because everyone's kind of frozen, but
they're not totally frozen.
But they're not, because he's not as... with
right,
it. Like,
right,
they're
right.
Not totally frozen, but it's like him trying to freeze everyone.
It's like stutter in time.
Yeah, but they can hardly move. Like, they really can't move. They're pretty frozen, but like looking around, and Logan can fight through it. Yeah. And he takes
his
claws.
This is everyone from outside the hotel.
Yes. Yeah. This is
the
Vegas.
Casino,
this is the Vegas strip.
Through the lobby.
This is, I believe, 600 injured. That's what they say on the news report.
Is that right?
It's a substantial amount of coverage.
He injured 600 people.
Right.
So the people in the casino have their pennies, flipped out on the ground. They're all, But he takes his claws out and he jams him into the wall to pull himself up the hallway. And then he sees someone and he's like, Snick? Snick. Like, he's just like, he's just taking them out one by one as he goes, and they can't move.
I like the only guy that shifts is the one, like, his eyes move.
Yeah.
And he can see him coming.
I love the
nothing
sight.
He can do.
I know. I just thought it was so brutal, but such a cool scene.
Right.
And then eventually the little girl hands him the syringe and he jabs it into Charles.
And then everybody drops.
And we later find out when they argue about this, Charles says he did it on purpose. And Logan goes, oh, you're just, whatever. Right. But Charles is like, I saved us from this, what was happening, and like Logan just thinks he's so out of it, and he's not giving him credit. But we're led to believe
that he is out of it, but he's maybe not as out of it.
Well, that's
all
what
the
I mean.
Time.
He's not as together as he was, but like he's still.
But he's also sedated.
Correct.
Yeah. So it's sort of like, is he dead on about a lot of the stuff? Just like the hotel.
Well, right. Exactly.
He was totally right,
right,
but it's misconstrued as being something in the past.
You ever deal with old people?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like, not really sure.
There's a lot of craziness, but then sometimes they know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
This is a moment where it's like, but he did.
And he does have a degenerative. Yeah. His brain's going.
Yeah. I like it.
It's turning to mush.
Same as mine.
Yeah. Right. So they gather up their things and they're taking off. And then I'm trying to think.
They're chasing after him
because they still have Caliban. And where do they go from Vegas?
The highway. The
wreck. Okay,
they get on the road.
They get on the road.
The train. They do the train jump. Kind of a
they
classic.
Do. So they're gone. No. That was at the that was going away from the house.
Yeah, that's true.
The train is going away from their old hideout.
Yeah, so they left the house.
I thought the train was before they got to the house.
So this is where they're on the road in the truck. Like the automated truck cuts them off. And this is
I like the trucks.
Yeah,
the truck was great. We're just the cargo containers.
Yeah.
There's no cab to the truck, and they're just zipping up and down. Super fast.
You know, and that's another way that they've grounded this future in reality, because the future we got, the 2015 we've seen, is flying cars and Jaws 19 3D or whatever, all this stuff. And in this movie,
the Cubs did win though.
Yeah,
but in this movie, the future of automated cars, we have self-driving cars right now.
Yeah,
so it's not crazy to think that cargo containers without a driver.
That's
would.
All it is.
Yeah,
and it's like,
makes
wow,
perfect sense.
That's the real future, not, you know.
Right,
Mr. Fusion.
We think that, and then they come out with, like, you know, well, it's like the Star Trek communicators, like those when those first came out, like those were, but now they're kind of a thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it's just cool to see that, like, their future is not hover cars, or
correct?
Like, you know, it's self-driving cargo containers. Okay,
no, fair enough. Yeah. So there's
it's only like what 12 years from
now.
And
it's totally place, it's so not it's, outside the realm of a possibility.
Yeah.
So they're driving, and then, like, they get cut off from one of these self-driving things, and another family get, like, they're carrying horses, and they get, like, jackknife, so the horses get out. So Logan's,
huge,
like,
jackknife?
Huge jackknife.
Yeah.
So Logan, they pull over to make sure everybody's all right, and they're going to keep going, and then Xavier's like, you got to help him. And he was like, fuck them. Like, I'm not helping them. And he's like, you got to help him. And he was like, good, fine. So they go, and then this Xavier...
He said someone will come, and he said somebody has already.
Somebody already has. So Xavier uses...
Well, Logan gets out of the car to go help him, but he doesn't realize that Xavier's back there in the back seat.
Right.
You know.
Which I didn't realize that, like, his telekinetic power...
Animals.
Goes to animals as well. Yeah. But
he rounds them all up.
He rounds them all up, gets them in, then Eric LaSalle, who I haven't seen since ER, is the dad of this family, and he kind of says, like, we really appreciate it. You come stay with us, like, get yourself something to eat and get yourself back on your feet.
And I love old Grandpa Charles in the back.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah,
no.
It's great.
He's like, no, Logan's like, no, we really got to get going. And Charles like, we would love that. He's waving at him. And
I do like where he's like,
such old.
My name's James. That's my dad Chuck, and that's my daughter Laura.
Yeah,
which I like.
Chuck,
I was like,
I love
that. Chuck.
Yeah.
Chuck. So they go to the house and they have a good meal, and this is like the first semblance of a good evening where, like, you know,
so,
Xavier's like, he used to run a school, and he was like, he was a student.
The dialogue again, this is the writing.
It's really well done.
You're just getting good, a good movie again, not superhero, not powers. You're getting a good movie at this point.
It's a nice breather. So, you know, it's going to go terrible.
Yeah.
Right. I was shocked at how terrible it went.
I did not
think it was going to go that terribly.
It's going to be.
Are you talking about
terrible.
The terribleness when they run out of corn? Because Laura has a hearty appetite.
Which was funny. Like, that was, again, like.
She did a lot of fighting back
then. She did. She's also a grown girl.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I do like, again, we get a little glimpse at the old Wolverine when they're trying to fix the water pipe.
Yeah.
And Wolverine kind of steps in. She's like, get your asses, you know. He steps in, but he.
There's a company that
is buying up all this property.
And then so this farmer is like the last one in the same area, and he's supposed to have a right to the water that's on the other guy's property. They keep shutting it off on him, which is making it very hard to live. And so they go, Logan and the dad,
Eric LaSalle,
they go and they try to fix it.
What was his name on ER?
I don't know.
I didn't watch ER.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It was a rip off of St.
Elsewhere. Yeah.
You don't mention ER in this house, damn it. This is a St. Elsewhere household.
ER can go straight to hell.
So they fix it. They break open the fence. You know, they are trespassing, but these people are being D-bags. And so they fix the water, and then all of a sudden a couple trucks pull up with the good old boys.
Yeah.
And, you know, with their shotguns, and what are you doing on our property?
And
you
then,
know?
Of course, Logan wearing the traditional Logan.
Now, this is the Wolverine Logan we know.
He had taken off his shirt because it got soaking wet, and he's standing there in the traditional Wolverine garb.
Yeah,
and he was just like, "Just get back in your trucks.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to do this."
Yeah,
and the guy's
the dialogue
like, "What do you
is
mean?"
Phenomenal.
It's
like,
it's ominous, but it's not.
It's because of the way they like. He says, "I'm like, hear that a lot." You know, when the guy cocks his rifle, he goes,
more than I'd like.
More than
I'd
like.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Those are the funny moments.
You got
that
a smart mouth. You hear that? He's like, And then they cock the rifle.
But
and
man,
he's like, you hear that a lot? He's like, more than I'd like.
And he takes the shotgun out of the guy's hand, hits him in the face with it, and breaks it in two.
Yeah. And that's
it's awesome.
A Wolverine from
awesome
29 years ago guts those guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, he's a different Wolverine
now.
He's
trying
to get glimpses of that character.
He's kind of a pacifist until you do something he really doesn't like.
Which is kind of goes to the the Old Man Logan story.
Well, and we also know at this point that the dad knows that he's a mutant.
Well, no, he doesn't know he's a mutant.
At this point,
he cracks the rifle over his...
He's like, you've had training.
Yeah. And he was like,
so it's kind of, not quite there yet.
Right.
But they go home and...
Well, they aren't home yet. So
they're on their way home and then...
Charles kind of gives you an idea of what happened. Yeah. So he did, obviously, he had a seizure and
killed
everybody.
All the X-Men.
Killed all of the X-Men.
I'm sorry, because at the casino, when we're talking about planting seeds, they talk about 600 injured, very similar to the
attack or wherever
in Westchester, where many mutants were killed, hundreds of mutants were killed, whatever. So we're like, Westchester, that sounds familiar. That's where the school is.
Yes.
And then,
right. So Charles is kind of
remembering
everything, and he leans on his back, and who you think is Hugh Jackman, it is Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
All of a sudden he's leaning over him and it has a different look.
When you know that they shoot just the legs walking and they don't show you, and he thinks he's talking to Hugh Jackman,
right,
or Wolverine, you're like, that's not Logan.
So it is
X-24.
Yeah.
Because I think in this movie they show all the kids were Experiment X-24, and when they find his dossier, it says X-24-24.
Oh, okay.
So he's the 24 version. The kids are actually X-24s.
Okay.
In this movie, I just caught that.
No, they're X-23s, because she's X-23. Lara is X-23.
Okay, but so he's X-24-24, so they've probably made 24
Logans. That probably makes
sense.
Yes.
But I just remember it showing like a -24 right on the screen.
So, and he guts Xavier. Like, he kills Xavier right then and there. Like,
terrible. It's hard. Like, and you know, they handle it very well, but it's like, man.
And it's not like, it's very brutal.
And you know what? And eventually, you know, when Wolverine and the dad do come home, they've found the son has been killed.
Yeah, the mom has been killed.
The wife has been killed. But he finds Charles and he goes, it wasn't me. It's heartbreaking.
Well,
Charles wants him to know.
Charles is still alive at this point. He's like, it wasn't me.
That is so heartbreaking, because like, this guy's about to die and these two are the only ones left from their group. And now, you know, Charles essentially thinks that Wolverine, you know, so
he gets him in the back of the truck. And then he comes back around and...
Sounds kind of dirty when you say it like that.
Yeah.
You know.
You have a truck?
I had a truck. So this Wolverine, this X-24-24, who is kind of like... In the comic books, Albert was a crazy psychopath clone of Wolverine. Just starts tearing, like,
oh my gosh,
this is
he's a killing machine.
That's exactly what he is. He's Wolverine without the conscience.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's because pure rage.
All those hillbillies come back.
That's right.
It's berserker mode.
I do like where the one guy goes, "Hey man, it's that boy from earlier."
Oh,
and
yeah,
I was "Oh, you guys in trouble."
When three trucks pull up and he's got Laura chained up. He's carrying her with one hand, which I believe Hugh Jackman is doing because he's Hugh Jackman. But he's carrying her around, and then like he has to set her down to deal with these guys in the trucks.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, we're getting another awesome scene.
This is gonna be a blood fest, and it is like he kills everybody, and then the doctor shows back up and he's just like, you know,
he cuts the one guy's head clean off, like this time you see a head, you know, not just the head, but he just swipe and his head just falls to the ground.
It was fun, like because of course, like, he's killing people that you want to die anyway.
Right.
it's like Jason. I want to see all those teenagers die,
and it's not really Logan doing it, so he's a bad guy, so it's okay, like, you
that's
know it's
fine.
Not like our heroes doing this dirty work.
Right.
It's bad guys.
But even if our hero did do it, it still would be like, no, those guys need to die.
I know, but this does not, our Logan does not just randomly kill people he gets mad
not
at.
Not our Logan.
Yeah.
So this is now our Logan comes barreling down out of the house and he starts to go berserk.
Yeah.
Like, he gets that berserk Wolverine look, and they start going at, you know, the two of them, which was interesting. Like, it's CGI has gotten so good. Like, you remember in...
Well, they just put, basically it's a body double and they put the face.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, like, they were in like Back to the Future where future Marty is next to past
it's
Marty.
Pretty,
and
yeah,
it's like, you can see.
It's like the Patty Duke show.
It's seamless now.
It's
but it is. And if you can do, you can do scenes where these two, they couldn't get Paul Walker's face right, but that's whatever. Because it was smashed in, Kevin. That's what it was.
Jesus.
So anyway,
I haven't had one of those in a while.
It was a good fight scene.
It was good.
He fights himself.
And he loses.
I think with Paul Walker, it's called Tree GI.
But I mean, X-24 slices a huge chunk out of his midsection.
He's
getting his back and his
Chest. He's losing this fight.
I mean, he's not a young man.
No.
And this is the young, this is like younger or this the age like, of X-1.
Yeah.
Like, this is fresh Logan, fresh Wolverine.
Right.
Clone.
So he ends up getting taken down by Laura. No.
But no, the cop.
The cop.
The dad.
The dad, like, pumps him, like, full of shotgun.
Well, he drives into
Well, he drives him into
him.
A, oh, like, right. a bobcat or something with
yeah.
spikes.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
contain him, and then he shoots
then
him
he
point
shoots
blank
him
in the head.
In the face.
Yeah.
And then he goes to shoot Logan.
Oh, man, where you're like, and I get it, because what? He just saw this Logan supposedly
yeah.
kill
yeah.
his family. He doesn't know what to believe anymore.
Yeah,
so.
He has no idea what's going on. This is where he realizes that, yeah. you know, and so he cocks the gun, pulls the trigger, and it clicks.
Luckily.
And then he just drops dead.
Yeah.
Like, and then, so, like, I was shocked they killed this entire family.
Yeah.
I did not expect them yeah. to kill the entire family.
Yeah. It's brutal. Yeah.
yeah. So then we flash, and he wakes up in a...
Well, and this is the part also where we see Caliban again. Caliban is in the back
oh,
of the
right.
truck.
And he grabs, like...
And it's a callback again to some good writing where they basically are like, they expose him to sunlight to torture him.
Right.
And he's like, I bet your parents told you never to go out into the sun. It
Don't
burns
go out
or whatever.
The light
go
or whatever.
Out into the light.
Yeah.
And then he says, don't look at the light. Or
yeah.
same line to them.
And blows up the
and
entire...
And blows him up
yeah,
with
blows
grenades.
Himself
yeah.
up as well.
Even Pierce gets a little...
Yeah.
You know.
Right. So then Logan wakes up in a doctor's office in an urgent care.
Mm-hmm.
And like he's got his shirt off and is like his, you know, you can see his ribs
yes.
and he's got a wicked scar.
That
like it's
chunk
not a
out
scar,
of his midsection
like
is open. It's a wound.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, the doctor's like, look, I don't really know what's going on.
He's like, I've never seen one of you before.
yeah.
This is amazing.
But you should probably get some rest. And he was yeah. like, yeah, rest. Okay. Whatever. And he gets up and he starts to leave and he's like, yeah, you're dying. Like, I don't know what's wrong with you, but something is
wrong. And
this
is when they allude that yeah. something's poisoning you.
Yeah. This and it, you can assume that it's the adamantium. Yeah. So he, you know, he talks to Laura and Laura's already gotten them a new truck.
you can't just take things like
yeah.
some fisherman
I
was.
I also
yeah.
like that scene where she's in the gas station
yeah.
and like she's just taking like
Pringles.
Know, Pringles or
great
whatever and
comedy,
the guy's like
yeah.
hey you gotta pay for that and like she does like a hurricane rana and
yeah.
puts him on the ground and he was like whoa
she's an excellent acrobat
yeah,
yeah.
But I like the part where he goes Wolverine's like or Logan's like I'm sorry do you guys sell phone chargers
yeah,
and the guy's
like,
just like,
oh,
over
yeah.
there and he just takes one and leaves
right.
like, again those understated comical moments that don't beat you over the head with like goofy stuff
right
they work so effectively.
And I also appreciate that you get a bit of a Laura's background
yeah.
where it's not it's just in snippets.
Wow.
Where it's like
we also find out she starts talking,
which was great.
yeah.
And
like,
he was like, you could talk the entire time
2,000 miles.
Well,
it's all in Spanish.
Well, it's cool. The exposition is told through the cell phone that Logan finds in the drawer of the hotel room in the beginning.
Right.
So the what was her name? The
Gabriella.
Nurse, Gabriella has recorded and basically so that if she dies, someone will understand what's happening. But she took footage working in the hospital for this Dr. Rice doing the experiments.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so basically what they've done is they've gone down to Mexico and they've genetically implanted embryos into just poor Mexican women.
Correct.
And they die and have these babies, but they are for of course as all movies are they are making weapons, you
right.
know,
right. Soulless weapons.
Yeah.
These things
and yeah. and they are X-Men powers. They are
they're mutant powers.
But I'm saying they're ones we recognize like
ice
they're using the genetics from these mutants and they're things we recognize like frost powers.
Yeah. Well, it's ice and then
telekinesis
and then Wolverine.
And you know, so it's interesting. So and again,
no optic blasts, I see.
Well, because they're like, that's just, got to buy sunglasses.
That's a,
it really is too much. Now. But so it's interesting. So we start seeing all these powers that we recognize. And that
think
comes
about
into
if you're born with that.
It's
ooh,
bad.
You can perform your own C-section.
Yeah.
Right. Did you
it's
see
really...
all the blood on the tables? That's why all the moms are dead.
yeah.
Yeah. Those were the Cyclopses. But so anyway, we were introduced and these powers just start looking really familiar. And that comes into play later
does,
at the
yeah.
end of the movie. And that's where, you know, we can talk about where we go from there. But it was nice. I mean, I think it worked well the way they showed that.
Yeah,
flashback. So we know that they were experiments,
and we also find out that she is his daughter.
Yeah,
like
well, because in the file or whatever, it shows that for Laura, it said the genetics were
Logan,
or,
yeah.
yeah,
or James Howlett or
yeah,
whatever.
So,
but yeah, so rather than her being his clone, she is his biological daughter.
Yeah,
right.
Which also, like, I also like that because one of the ideas is that it's, okay, so if Logan and Emma Frost have a child, there's no guarantee that child is going to have like their power.
Yeah,
like,
what's
going to have
mix of those
well,
powers,
it's going to
yeah.
have a mutant gene, but that may not be.
Yeah. And yeah. genes can be recessive. Like you never
yeah.
know.
Yeah, you have
like,
no idea.
Right.
There's actually a kind of a good one where Cyclops and Emma Frost had a daughter, and instead of her being able to turn into diamond, she turns into ruby.
Oh, that's neat.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So Why not? Yeah, why not? Yeah, so then they're driving. This is where Logan's kind of like, look, man, this whole Eden thing is bullshit. They got it out of a comic
book. He reads the comic books, and he sees that Eden...
Written and drawn by Dan Panison.
And there's
the
a
coordinates are
coordinate in the comic
same thing.
And it's what
just, it's bold, like,
it's what Gabriella gave him on the money envelope, the coordinates from a comic book. So he's like, this thing's made up.
And the kid's like, and she's like, no, it's not. He's like, fine, whatever.
Well, he gives her, I mean, she puts up quite a fight. She's like, we're not doing this.
But
it's also, far away. And she just like,
we paid you.
Yeah.
Right. I also like that that is a father daughter thing. Yeah. Like that's a parenthood thing, which is like, fine.
The acting and the is so flawless because I mean they it's very natural.
Yes, it is.
I will say, if you've played The Last of Us,
this is very much The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah.
If you like The Last of Us and you've played it, this is a very similar dynamic and story. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing and they're doing their own thing, but like
it's
this
very
is the
similar.
Joel and whatever her name is, you know, because Joel is older and he has a gray beard and stuff. It's like this
Joel
is,
and Ellie
and Joel Ellie. And Ellie
and it's one of the best PlayStation games ever made.
It was
it's
a fantastic
perfect.
Naughty Dog was on a roll is one on a roll
so anyway, but you definitely will find similarities between the two.
Yeah. So they're driving and Logan has reached the tipping point. Like he is gonna die. Like he's got nothing left. He can't drive.
I like how she says, let me drive. And he's like, no. And then he just starts like passing out and running off the road.
Out, and then they drive and they get to
she starts driving.
She's good. She goes around, opens the door, and just like moves his foot out of the way. She's really good.
I do
want
to know how she reached the pedals.
Short round.
In the earlier scene, you see her taking things off the seat, like him taking things off, like she was on a booster thing.
Yeah.
But then later when she gets in, she doesn't put anything in place.
Okay,
so
that
I
makes
no
sense.
Idea.
All right.
And
so
and come on, you've seen.
I've seen short round. That's true. Yeah.
She just uses that claw.
That claw.
She pops
that
it.
She probably
the foot
pushes,
claw.
Yeah,
exactly.
Foot claw.
Everything is so realistic in this movie, Joe. Come on.
So he wakes up.
And they're there.
And they're there. Yeah. Wherever. I don't know if it's Eden, but it's wherever.
I'm thinking Eden is where they cross over to. So they're at the meeting point before Eden believe.
And
I
we see all of these kids. So like she's rattling off all these names. And I thought it was like, you know, Sierra, Delta, Echo.
Oh,
like
no. I thought it was the kids from
Those names those words she was saying, I thought they were like the letters.
She was basically like, we need to meet up with Johnny.
The kids.
Roberto and all these other people. So...
Is he from Joyzy?
Joyzy, yeah. It's Roberto.
Roberto?
Roberto.
That's from
Waterboy. I'm your dad, Roberto.
So they meet up with these guys, and they end up, I mean, he's like collapsed.
He's dead.
So they have to lift him up with a crank and a pulley,
which
like,
is
like
also
a evacuation
beyond
from
Thunderdome.
A mountain.
Yes, exactly. So they get him up there, and they're using this serum a little bit at a time to speed up his healing
factor. And this is what the kids, they stole this from their experiments, but basically that's what these kids would do as weapons that they were trying to experiment them on. They would inject them with this and it made their powers go berserk. It made them go...
There's an idea in the comics called where... They sell like a drug. It's called MGH, where it's mutant instead of HGH.
Mutant growth
hormone.
Yeah,
and it can either amplify your powers if you're a mutant, or if you're a non-mutant, give you powers.
Oh,
and that's what this is doing.
Well, don't they play with the idea that everybody has the mutant gene? In some movie or comic, isn't there?
So in Deadpool, they say that they're trying to unlock the mutant.
Okay, got
mutant
it.
Gene.
Got it. And that's how they do it. They just have to.
They're just killing people left and right until
something. And that's how he runs out of oxygen, and eventually it.
The way it's supposed to work is your mutant gene manifests itself at puberty. Like that's the way it's always been. It's like your mutant powers kick in when puberty
but
kicks
you were
in.
A late bloomer.
No, look, you see this hair? Look at me. That's my mutant power.
Yeah.
So like that they say that in Deadpool that you could have the latent gene.
Yeah.
But for the most part your powers will kick in. That's why Xavier made the school for kids who were entering high school.
Youngsters, if you will.
Gifted youngsters. Yes. So now we realize that like Wolverine's like, look, I got you here. You're on your own. You don't have to worry about me. And she's just like, you need to come with us. He's like, I'm not coming with you. People that I care about always end up dying. She's like, well, luckily I'll be safe.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a gut punch right there. Like good line.
It was very good delivery. So he goes to bed, wake up the next morning. They're off. But then we see a bunch of drones flying towards the woods, which is where the kid pointed out they're going towards Eden at the crossover point. So he's like, oh crap. So he grabs the serum and goes
and takes off. And
off
to the woods. Yeah, because we also see the one boy talking to somebody on the other end about, you know, getting safe passage or whatever.
Right.
So it's like So there's something there.
There's something.
Like, they're
yeah,
not.
Sure.
They're not off.
Yeah, we,
this isn't like the kids in Thunderdome where they're like, yeah. Walkers come in. But
no, we're led to believe of that. But, Eden is real.
Well, and it's kind of funny because like the comic book in a way became sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy
because
they went exactly to where their coordinates
or the comic book was,
it.
Was in there.
I mean,
for
it's,
a reason.
You can read it either way, but it's sort of like. Yeah,
it wasn't BS.
It did actually work out.
It wasn't BS is the point. It wasn't a trick like Logan thought or a goofy thing.
Right. So
but he sees the drones. So he's
running through the woods and like the kids are already being attacked by the soldiers.
Yeah. Pearson is
and
he's
at the last possible second. Logan injects himself with the entire thing.
Said, don't use it all.
You'll go crazy.
A little bit at a time is how they healed him from all those wounds from X-24. But yeah, if you do it all at once, you go berserk.
Right.
That's your rage berserker mode. And
now we get the Wolverine that we've seen.
We get berserker mode.
Yeah, we do.
And it is just like full-fledged. He is leaping through the air, literally shoving claws
through
people's faces.
That's a nice little throwback to X-2, where he jumps off that landing into Stryker's men.
Yeah. But it looks good. Again, this is not like CGI crap fest. I mean, this is another gritty.
No, now him and Lara are team, like they're like a tag team.
Yeah,
where like they're doing, you know, she's jumping off his back and killing
that's
people.
Cool. She kicks ass in this movie.
She does.
It's like the Daddy Daughter Dance.
It is just like
it reminds me of Hit Girl. Honestly,
I thought the same thing.
I mean, when I saw her kicking ass,
she wasn't saying the word cunt.
No,
but
I'm thinking Hit Girl. This is a badass, you know, 12, 13, whatever, kicking ass, killing people.
I just rewatched that. That still holds up.
Yeah,
first one's
good.
First one's great. So now he has to go up against X-24, and he's starting to slow down.
Yeah. They say that, you know, the more you, like, he went total berserk, so like he used his energy up and it dissipated. It's gone.
Right.
Yeah.
So now he is getting
shot his load.
He did.
Needs a refractory period.
He does not have one.
There are no refractory periods left.
Think about baseball.
Yeah, just keep him.
Yeah.
Works every time.
Well, no, he's Canadian. He would have to think about hockey.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He don't play baseball up there. The Canadian Football League, maybe.
Yeah.
So he's getting decimated by X-24. We should say that there's been an underlying, like, obviously in X-Men Origins, there's an adamantium bullet that...
Yeah.
It causes him to lose his memory, which is why he doesn't remember anything from those movies.
But see,
you know what I'm saying?
But they used it in Origins.
Yeah, so he's had this bullet the entire time.
But it didn't do any damage. It's just sort of like, you know, it was just like he got hit with a big board.
Yeah.
You know?
The bullet bounces off his head. Like,
yeah.
Adamantium
did enough damage for him.
Adamantium.
Just wait.
I don't think he has...
No.
We'll see. Mm. I don't know.
It did enough damage for him to, you know, essentially
lose
his
memory.
And for them to kind of fix the continuity.
Yeah, sort of.
Like, wait a minute. You saw Professor X and you saw, Scott Summers, but
and
we
Emma
have his
Frost
eyes covered.
And,
yeah.
So she has found it. Laura has found the bullet and a gun.
Yes. Yeah.
So they're fighting and X-24 ends up shoving him through a log.
Correct.
And then he is not healing.
And
Well, yeah, but first the doctor comes out and Johnny Robot comes out.
Right.
And we see that, like, they already know that Logan has been pretty...
He's hurt.
Like, oh, you used all of it, didn't you?
Yeah.
And
he's coughing
and
up.
And Dr. Rice keeps coming closer and closer. And it's like, well, I mean, he could maybe make a play for him, but it's not going to get his name. But so for the first time, we see Logan use something besides his claws.
Right.
And
he shoots him.
Both of them.
Yes, he shoots them both.
And he takes out the one.
Yes, he does.
And it's like, wait, he actually just used... He said he doesn't like guns.
I don't like guns.
It doesn't mean he doesn't like guns.
I had to use it in this.
Yeah, that was one of those moments that you don't expect when the doctor's talking to him that he's just going to shoot him point like
right. He's monologuing.
He's done,
right.
Yeah.
It's the John Wick thing.
He's monologuing, and all of a sudden you're like, oh...
Which was also the Magnificent Seven thing.
Yes,
which,
correct.
So we've seen it a lot lately.
And it works. It still works every single time.
It's effective because you still don't expect it. You know?
Right. So Wolverine is impaled on this
it's not looking
piece
good
of
for
wood.
Him.
And then
and
X-24
about to finish
is coming
off.
In for the kill. And then all of a sudden, half of his brain, his head is blown off.
And there's Laura with
there's Laura with the gun.
With the adamantium bullet.
So she hacks the wood apart to get Wolverine off of our Wolverine off of it. And this is it. Like this is the way it had to end.
Yeah.
Like, he can't survive, right? Yeah. Like, if he survives, you get more Wolverine movies,
right?
You just
have to,
You have to kill him.
If there's going
to
be another one for some whatever reason, then it takes place earlier or whatever. But like,
he can show up in Supernova. Like, that's set in the 80s.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It has to take place earlier. But like, at least for this tract of movies, like there can't be a sequel with Wolverine in it.
We can't go any further.
It was the right way to do it because and it was sad. And again, you've been with this character. It was like you were going to his funeral.
Sure.
But
we've been with this character for 17 years.
Yeah. 2000.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So they lay him out and they put the cross there. This is where you get the logo.
I like it.
Where
she
takes the cross out and kind of turns it on its side. Yes. And it becomes an X. And you can take that as two ways. One, he's Weapon X.
Yeah.
Or B, he's an X-Men.
I think X-Men. It's both. But
it could be both.
And
that's kind of how it ends, is all the kids are going.
And this
over
is the thing.
Canada.
And we've just seen, so when they're fighting all these soldiers of Pierce's and Dr. Rice, they all use their powers. They start, they take like grass and leaves.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They tie them up and
they go
just
full
like,
murderer
and
the Orient Express on him.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, everything.
A guy explodes.
Yeah,
they just squeeze him until he
uses nature.
And they use ice and all that. So we've seen all these powers. And so now Laura, as the new Wolverine, has joined them. And you see all these powers that we know and love from the X-Men, and it's like it could go one of two ways.
That plant power, that's a whole new one for me.
I know, but I'm just saying. No, but I'm just saying, like,
they did that better than Poison Ivy.
They did. Yeah. That's true.
But we see these powers that we know and some new ones, and these kids are off, and it's like you could end it right there, and that's a great story.
Yeah.
Or they could have, we could have a new X-Men.
Yeah.
Cue Johnny Cash music. And,
which, I mean, like,
and hey, no sequences.
No, there's no sequence. No, the thing you get in the beginning is the Deadpool teaser. There's nothing else after. I think. It's so Johnny Cash, like if they were just to do a straight Johnny Cash soundtrack to this movie, like it fits perfectly.
For Old Man Logan. Yeah. That's just,
it was
the Western theme, Old Man Logan. Yeah.
And it's not a Johnny Cash song, like, I mean, it's a newer one that has been released recently.
It's one of the ones from the American recordings.
Yeah.
It was after his like sort of post-punk renaissance.
Yes, correct. But this was fantastic. Like it was a great way to end the Wolverine, the Hugh Jackman story with the Wolverine movies.
Bravo, James Mangold.
Yeah.
He had to
fix a show from Gavin Hood.
But that's the thing, though, is that he, by doing, the way he fixed it was just ignoring it.
But
I mean, this was its own contained story. I don't care if you've ever seen X-Men before or not. You could go in and watch this and get the idea that he was an experiment and he's old and it's not working right. Like, it works on its own.
Totally.
Yeah. That second Wolverine movie, which essentially we could just say it's the first Wolverine.
Yeah.
but that one definitely, I mean, is such an improvement over that first.
Absolutely.
That it was like even the giant robot at the end.
It gets a pass.
It does.
You're willing to turn a blind eye because you're
absolutely.
Like, there has you at that point. You're like, well, it's still a superhero movie.
Yeah.
It's still going to have.
They do never tell
moments.
Us how
he
gets his adamantium back.
Yeah,
we
make the assumption that it was Magneto.
Sure.
But that was good because it also set up Days of Future Past. So it was cool. But this is that definitely like they're like, okay, we know this is the last one. We're going to do it our way. We're not going to worry about all the baggage. We're not worrying about setting up other movies. And if here's what you got, and then it works.
And I think the key phrase, if DC were to listen, is not worry about setting up other movies.
Correct. Yes. Just do your movie.
They made a great movie, and they made a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a great superhero movie.
That's the thing.
Movie.
This has to be at the top of, I mean, this is one of the best X-Men movies.
I think it's probably First Class.
Yeah.
This. And then Days of Future Past.
And I've told people, I'm like, I don't really consider it an X-Men movie, but
being in the franchise, it's probably not, I understand why you maybe would like Days of Future Past better. It's more of a superhero movie and it's so good. But this may be the most well-made film in the X-Men franchise. A film-wise,
easily.
Not superhero movie, film. Because it's just
dialogue,
the pacing, the script, the character development, everything. It's
if this was the first, if this movie just existed as a standalone thing, you would love it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And you'd be like, what is this backstory? Oh my God, it's so rich. There's so much going on in the periphery. Like you would,
totally.
It works like that.
This is a fantastic film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
Yeah, I do. Because there was a lot of movies that this touches on and a lot of pop culture. I mean,
was it Shane they were watching?
Shane.
Yes.
Which I love. She quotes Shane.
There's a callback to that. Yes.
Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, The Last of Us. There's so many things, but it never feels like it's just lazy,
right?
But the one that really really struck me with was Lone Wolf and Cub.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Which is
good
the
call.
Manga series, and then it was a series of movies and a TV show. But in 1980, there was basically sort of like a greatest hits version released called Shogun Assassin. And it's, but it's Lone Wolf and Cub. If you've never seen this movie,
is that who plays Lone Wolf?
Is it
Sonny Chiba?
No, no.
Oh
no. But this guy who's played him, like, I mean, he was in six movies. And it's basically a Ronin. He's an ex Shogun warrior. He's a masterless Shogun warrior who is roaming the countryside, much like Kane, with his son in a baby carriage. And I mean, I remember seeing this, you know, on like Channel 11.
Yeah.
Which now I'm like, how were they able to show that? Right. But, you know, and the little kid is in this lethal baby carriage, because it's you know, a carriage that's armed with blades and
correct.
All sorts of stuff.
Swiss Army carriage.
Yeah. And, but it is, it's a very similar, and it feels a lot like, you know, Logan. And it's this guy, you know, he's constantly, there are many people from his past who are trying to kill him, and he is trying to move on, and he's also trying to protect his son, but slowly his son is becoming as lethal as he is. And it's a lot of this, as I was watching this, I was like, man, this is just like a Lone Wolf and Cub.
Yep.
So if you have not
That's
seen
a great
it,
series.
I mean, start with Shogun Assassin, but it is a massive, like the actual manga series.
I think there's like seven or eight volumes of omnibuses, which are not small.
Huge. It's because it's been around.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's 60s? A good, I think, yeah, probably. Frank Miller does the covers for him.
Yeah.
Like,
But I mean, sorry, it's 65. I mean, it is a massive.
It's like Yosagi Yojimbo.
Oh my God, it's huge.
Huge.
But it's essentially, you know, what this was.
Yeah.
It's worth checking out.
Good call.
All right, so this isn't. There's not a movie though.
There's movies. There's six movies.
Oh, okay.
It was also a TV show.
That went on for.
I think it's still going on.
It might be going on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lone Wolf and Grand Cub.
Yeah. And then there's a single, like, sort of. They took like 12 minutes from the first movie, a good chunk from the second movie, and some of the third movie, and they made it a single movie called. Okay. Shogun Assassin. I think Corman produced it.
Probably.
So if you ever wanted just like a single sort of like singular version of it, go with the Shogun Assassin.
That'd be a good one.
From 1980.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah.
So I guess that's it for this episode. We will go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY. Sorry.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin Brackett. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett. And also on ReviewSTL.com, we've got a lot of interviews. I mentioned a couple of them coming up. We've got Wizard World Comic Con in St. Louis. So we're getting a lot of people, I think, our listeners would be interested in on there.
Awesome. And you can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you'd like to continue the conversation online, you can find us at facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers. We're also available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We say it every week because it matters.
And it helps us.
It's super important.
I have two words for you. Rock dog.
Rock dog. Yes. So,
just remember that.
So,
as you.
Next week might be Kong Island or Skull Island, sorry. But, or it could be Rock Dog.
So, up to you.
This is going to lead into Godzilla, right?
I believe that's the end game, a setup to get to Kong versus Godzilla.
Supposedly, the director said they did not make King Kong so big to fight Godzilla. That was not, like, because a lot of people were like, they made him huge, like, to fight Godzilla. And they're like, that was not the reason.
As long as it's not the Peter Jackson one.
Well,
that movie's not that bad.
The ice skating is unfortunate.
Yeah.
But there are some good things about that movie. Andy Serkis' performance was great.
What's cool about this is it's set in the 70s. So they also avoid some
crossovers.
Yeah, they're like, set in the 70s.
Don't worry about the modernization. It's cool. Yeah. But man, I mean, those.
Well, does that mean we'll get Charles Grodin?
One can only hope.
That'd be awesome.
So anyway, most likely, if someone were to be kind enough to leave us a review, we'll talk about Kong Island next week. So hopefully you guys come
through. And until then, we'll leave you with the intro of the Rock Dog soundtrack.
Yes.
The outro will be the Rock Dog soundtrack.
So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Logan reveals Will's identity to Little Bill's men.
Who is it that lifts us to the sky? Who doesn't care if we have three eyes? He picks you right up and then you're right.
What a surprise.
I'll miss you guys. There's nothing quite as glorious that makes you more notorious.
Planning for your next trip? elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.